Our subject tonight is the most important subject that you could preach on. And so I want everyone to pay very close attention. The subject is the two Adams. The two Adams. Now, if you've been here for a while, like most of us, you have heard this preached. You've heard me preach it several times. But especially our young people, I want you to take your Bibles along with the grown folks, and I want you to turn with me in the Scriptures, and I want you to follow along here. This is so important, so very important. Let's begin in 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to mark Romans 5, you can go ahead and mark it as well. 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 5. Let's begin reading in verse 21, 1 Corinthians 15, 21. Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Look down at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Look at verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we, speaking to believers, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now here's the point. This is the main point. As in Adam, all died by Adam. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive by Christ. Now, this is the truth of federal headship. This is the truth of representation. There's two Adams. There is the first man whose name is Adam, and there's Christ. He's called the last Adam because Adam was a picture. Adam was a type of Christ. So you have Adam and you have Christ. Two federal heads. Now this is the truth. What I'm going to declare tonight is the truth whereby God empties the hands of his people. Entirely. Takes all the work out of our hands before, during, after conversion. He takes the work out of our hands and shuts us up to Christ alone. And that's what I pray happens tonight. I want you to be shut up to Christ, to depend entirely upon Christ. Not say you depend on him, but yet be looking to yourself for something else. I want you to depend entirely upon Christ. Now here's the first point. In the first federal head, all died. Now let me show you this in verse 21. By man came death. Verse 22, in Adam, all die. By man came death, in Adam, all die. Now it pleased God to begin the human race with one man. He created one man named Adam. That's how it pleased God to begin the human race. And that one man is what we call a federal head. That means he represents everybody that is in him, that will be coming from him, being born from him. For instance, Adam and Eve had a son named Seth. That was Adam's child. He was in Adam before he was yet born. And you go all the way down the line to everybody that's born into this earth, to you and me. We were all back there in Adam. And we all came from Adam. So that's what we're talking about as a federal head. He represents all that was in him and all who would come from him. That's when you read here the word all. In Adam, all died. In Christ shall all be made alive. When you read the word all, when it refers to headship, it's referring to all who are in that federal head and all who will be born from that federal head, by that federal head. For instance, in Adam, all refers to the whole human race because we all were in Adam. We all came from Adam. So there the word all refers to all Adam's race. The whole human race came from that one man, Adam. So he was the federal head of all men without exception. Men, women, children, all without exception came from Adam. God created Adam upright in a garden. God does nothing, he creates nothing sinful. Everything he creates is right and holy and perfect. He created Adam out of the dust. His name means of the red earth, Adam. And he was made from the dust, created. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. That's where it says, as it's written, the first man was a living soul, made a living soul. It comes from Genesis chapter 2. Adam was made a living soul by God. And he put him in a garden that was perfect. No sin was in it. It looked nothing like the world looks now. It looked nothing like it looks when you look around now. What we're seeing right now is death. We're seeing the fall. We're seeing the leaves come off the tree. That's death. There was no death in the garden. No death at all. There was no sin, so there was no death. It was a perfect place. And in that state of innocence, Adam was innocent. He had never committed any sin whatsoever. And everybody that was in Adam, you and I, all of us, were innocent in Adam in that state of innocence. If Adam had never sinned, we would have remained in that state of innocence. We'd have never, because he's our head. You recall, I showed you this before. Eve was the first one to take of the fruit that God forbid. Nothing happened. She wasn't the head. Adam was the head. It wasn't until Adam ate that they fell. But he put him in this garden, this spotless, clean garden. The animals didn't fear death. The animals didn't kill each other. They would walk up to Adam. Adam named them. God brought them to Adam. Adam named them. He could walk up to a lion, a roaring lion, pet him, and walk around with him. And that lion had no thought whatsoever of harming Adam. None at all. And God gave Adam one law in the garden, just one command. He said this, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." I don't know how many that was, but it was a lot. Plenty to eat. You can freely eat any tree in this garden, of any tree of this garden. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. And by that one law, what God was doing was he was declaring that he is the authority, the creator, the authority, the God to whom man is totally dependent and to whom we owe all honor and all gratitude. And as long as Adam obeyed God, he was owning God to be his creator, his authority, his benefactor, the one who provided everything for him. And that's how it was, as long as he obeyed God. But Adam disobeyed God. Just that one command he had in a perfect garden, And then in an upright state, God allowed Adam to have his will, to do what he would. And with a perfect will, upright, Adam sinned against God. He transgressed against God. And by transgressing that law of God, he then owned he was going to be independent from God. He was saying then, I don't need God. I can provide for myself. I can live of myself. I can do for myself. I don't need God. That's what he was saying by transgressing against him. That's, you know, when you're a child and you're under your mother and your father's roof and your father gives you a rule and says, gives you a command to do this or that and you don't do it, what you're saying is, I don't need you. I can provide for myself. I can do for myself. I don't need you. And that's what Adam was saying to God. I don't need you. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So there's one law, and he transgressed against it. That's the one law that he had, and he transgressed. And so when he did that, the moment he transgressed, Adam sinned. And when he sinned, he died exactly as God said he would. God said, the day you eat it, you'll die. By man came death. By man came death. Men like to say, you know, accuse God of letting evil come to pass and this and that. It's man that sins. Adam sinned. God didn't sin. God did nothing to make him sin. He sinned on his own. And men sin on their own. The evil you see in the world is of man. It's not of God. God overrules it, but man does it of his own accord. It's his will to do it. So by man came death. Now go to Romans 5:12. Hold your place here and go to Romans 5:12. This is what we read here. Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now, right now, we're just talking about Adam. Adam died spiritually. He died spiritually. He became guilty before God, unrighteous, because he broke the law. That's what righteousness has to do with obedience to the law. He became guilty, unrighteous. And also his heart, his nature, became corrupt. Because God removed his spirit. And it became corrupt, unholy, defiled, full of enmity, hatred toward God. He lost all fellowship and all communion with God. And he also began to die physically that very moment. Now you just imagine, here's Adam and Eve. God created them and God didn't put any clothes on them. They were naked. And they weren't ashamed of that because there was no sin. But the moment they sinned, they became ashamed. Can you imagine just in that moment, all of a sudden, the shame that must have come over them? You know when you ever been ashamed? You know when you've been ashamed of something? The shame that just came over them. They'd never experienced anything like that. And then all of a sudden, too, just imagine this. They suddenly became afraid of God's voice. They were walking with God and talking with God, and now they're afraid of his voice and ran and hid from God. Imagine now watching those lions and those bears and all the different animals. Watch them. They're running from Adam now. They don't have anything to do with him. And they're wanting to kill each other now. It affected everything. Sin affected everything. Death entered when he sinned in the garden. And imagine this. Imagine when they saw death for the first time. They'd never seen blood shed, and they'd never shed blood. The first blood ever shed in this world. You know why? God slew an animal to make a covering for Adam's nakedness. That was the first blood shed. Picture Christ. To cover their nakedness. Imagine what they thought when they saw Cain kill Abel. their two sons, and they watched one of them kill the other one. Adam had to think, this is because of me. I did this. Now listen carefully. Since Adam was the federal head, now he's the federal head of the whole human race. Therefore, all Adam's race died when he died. When he sinned, we sinned. When he died, we died. Look here now. Hold your place there in Romans 5. Let me read our text to you. It says, in Adam all died. Now look here, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Adam all have sinned. Now, since Adam was the federal head and the representative of everybody, whenever he sinned, we all died. We all sinned and we all died. Now, to show us that we were made sin by Adam, to show us we were made sin, really made sin by what Adam did, and to show us that God imputes, charges, accounts to you only what you really are by a prior act. He only imputes what you are by a prior act, by something that happened before that made you what you are. God's imputing is a just imputing. It's like accounting. If you have $10 in your wallet and you account $10 to it, you're not putting the $10 in it by accounting to it. You account it because that's what it is. It has $10 in it. He only imputes what you are by prior act. Now, to show us that, God didn't give a law, another law, until Moses. From Adam all the way to Moses. I don't know how many years that is, but it's a long time. Well over 500 years. And from Adam to Moses, he didn't give a law. And yet, he imputed sin to people, and they died. Now, watch what he says here, Romans 5:13. For until the law, sin was in the world. Until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. God's just. He will not impute sin to a man unless he's really broken the law. Well, there was no law. How could God be just to impute sin to him then? Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, death reigned and sin was imputed to them who had not sinned by breaking an express commandment that God gave, like Adam. Adam had a commandment in the garden. He saw it. He knew what it was. Don't eat of this tree. And he sinned. Well, these others didn't have an express command. From Adam to Moses, they didn't have one. And God won't impute sin to somebody unless they've transgressed the law. How then could God be just to impute sin to them? Because they sinned in Adam. When Adam broke that one law, that's when they broke the law. And so God justly imputed to them what they were, sin. And they died because they sinned in Adam and died in Adam. So that's the federal headship now. And I get what that's saying. I want you to get this now. Not only are we not made righteous by our obedience, by the obedience of our hand, we weren't made sin by the disobedience of our hand. We're made sin by Adam. Look here, Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And that's what our text is getting at. In Adam, all died. You see, I didn't have to put my hand to the law to be disobedient. Adam made me disobedient by his hand, by his doing and his dying. I was made to sin and to die. Now, somebody might hear this, and if any person hears it and they say, well, I don't believe I was made to sin, by Adam's hand, by what he did. Well, I ask you this then. Here's the Word of God that has survived, by God's grace, it survived since this world, he started putting it into writing. How come you disagree with this Word if you weren't made sin? That's what I'd say to a man that disagrees with it. How come you disagree with God then? What is it that's causing you to get fired up and get angry in your heart if you didn't sin in Adam? What's causing that? But now hold on, stay with me because I got good news. Now here's the second thing. There's another federal head. Did you see there at the end of Romans 5:13 or 5:14 where it says, Adam was a figure of him that was to come. Where is it? Romans 5. 5:14, who is the figure of him that was to come. Adam, the reason God set it up to have federal headship by Adam was because that was a picture. God was giving you a pattern of how Christ would be the federal head. That's why it's such good news to know we sin by another's hand. Because now we're fixed to see how we're saved by another's hand. Now look, Romans 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, just as it pleased God to represent all Adam's race in Adam, it pleased God to represent all Christ's race in Christ. He's the federal head. Christ is the federal head, just like Adam was a federal head. It pleased God to make Adam the federal head. It pleased God to save all who God saves in one federal head, Christ Jesus. Now, it pleased God to make Christ the federal head and representative of all Christ's race. When it says all there, remember, it refers to all who are in that federal head and all who would be born from that federal head. All who were chosen freely by God's grace and given to Christ in eternity by God is the all that's represented there. We know that doesn't mean all men without exception because it says all shall be made alive by Christ. And there's lots of folks who go through this life dead in trespasses and in sins who hate God's word and never bow to Christ. It refers to all who shall be made alive by Christ, his people. That's who the all refers to there. It's not all men without exception. It's his elect. It's his people. Only his people. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And in Christ we have redemption, forgiveness of sin by his blood, by the rich, rich, rich grace of God. That's good news. When you find out, when God reveals to you that you sin by the hand of another, and that all you are is sin, it'll be good news to know God in his grace, just pure free grace, put you in Christ before that ever took place, so that Christ comes forth now to represent you. Nobody in their right mind will fight against that. Nobody in their right mind does fight against that. Only people that aren't in their right mind fight against that. All right, look, now let's see what happened. The Son of God took flesh. This is the Son of God. He took flesh because it was fallen people. His fallen people were flesh. It says, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. A man came to save us, and that's the God-man. But Christ wasn't like Adam. He wasn't conceived of Adam's corrupt seed. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So God came down. And that's the when the scripture speaks of he came down to the lowest parts of the earth, he came down to the womb and entered the womb of this virgin and was born holy. So he came forth holy. Now you consider how much greater Christ is than Adam. He didn't come forth into a perfect environment, a sinless environment. He came forth into a world full of sin. And he wasn't made under one law. He was made under the whole law of Moses. And he walked perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. And not only that, he came to fulfill all the Psalms and the prophets. So he did. He had a much more tall order than what Adam had. Adam had one law in a perfect environment. Christ came forth under a multitude of laws and temptations from Satan and wicked men and sinners. Plus, he's fulfilling the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And then look at what Romans 5 says. Go back there with me. Romans 5, he's going to show us some differences now. Romans 5:16, he says, the judgment was by one offense, is what he's saying. The judgment was by one offense to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Adam committed one offense and condemned us. Christ came forth and he had to bear all the offenses of all his people, and he justified us. You see, it's just one offense was committed, but he bore all the offenses. And then look at Romans 5:17. By one man's offense, death reigned by one. Now watch the wording here. By one man's offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. You see the difference? By one Adam, death reigned over all Adam's race. But by God's grace and the gift of righteousness, all Christ's people shall reign. It doesn't say life shall reign over us. It says you're going to reign in life. Death reigned over us by Adam. By Christ, we reign in life. That's the difference. We're reigning now in life by Christ, by the Lord. Verse 18, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. By Adam, we were condemned. By Christ, we're justified. Justification of life. And then look, do you see how often one is used here? He keeps repeating it even when it doesn't really need to be put in there. He begins it by one and ends it with one. He's wanting us to get the picture that it's by one. By one we became sinners. By one we're made righteous. By one. That's the good news of federal headship. Just as, now I'm going to reverse what I said before, just as we were not made sinners by our disobedience, we're not made righteous by our obedience. We really obeyed in Christ, but not by our hand, by his hand. Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered. Now, here comes Moses, and God gives the law. Why did it enter? Did it enter to give you a bunch of stuff to do to try to be righteous and holy? No. No. We settled that matter back there in the garden. And he's settling the matter of how we're going to be made righteous and holy right here in this chapter. By one. By one. No, the law entered. Here's why it entered. That the offense might abound. That we might be made to see how offensive we are to God. That's why the law was given. That you might be made to see your sin and your guilt when Christ makes you see it. That's why. That the offense might abound. But look, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? The point I'm trying to get across to you is it's only by Christ that we are made everything we must be made in order to be resurrected into God's presence. Not by our hand, by His. Now let me give you a last point here. I want you to see the certainty of this. The certainty of this. Look at back in our text in verse 22. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now again, I remind you, with Adam, we're talking about all his seed, all his race, all that came from him. That means everybody without exception. But when we're talking about all, as it refers to Christ, we're talking about all who come from him, who shall be born of him and made alive by him. So we're only talking about the elect, his seed, Christ's seed. Now look, now he says, as in Adam all died, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now what work did you and I have in making ourselves sin? What work did you have in it? Nothing. Not a thing. Could you prevent it? What could you do to prevent it? Not a thing. Not a thing. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You have nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing. Now what does alive mean? Are we just talking about the resurrection? Not hardly. We're talking about being made right before the law. We're talking about being born anew inwardly, renewed, created in righteousness and holiness by Christ, renewed in knowledge after the image of God that created us. We're talking about being in God's favor, in God's sight, in God's approval all the days we live on this earth, and He's using us to preach His gospel. And then at last we're talking about being raised from the dead. We're talking about everything about eternal life. Christ said, I'm the life. I'm the life. And I'm saying to you now, it's all by Christ. Every bit of it. Now look at verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. By Adam, we were conceived in corruption. Had nothing to do with it, did we? He did it. On down the line to us, we were conceived in sin. Well, Christ was made a quickening spirit. And the scripture says, he said, as the Father quickens whom he will, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. I'm the bread that came down from heaven to give life, he said. And it's by him quickening us in regeneration that we're born again and created anew. It's by him that we were quickened, as Ephesians 2 says, and raised up and sat down with him when he was raised from the dead. And it's by him that we're going to be quickened and raised our bodies out of the grave in the end and be with him. This is by him quickening us. And he had to be the righteousness and holiness to enter into us and be the righteousness and holiness within us. Life is what I'm talking about. Life, life. Righteousness and holiness is life. You don't have life without righteousness and holiness. You can't separate these things. Did you notice the scripture you read, Eric, where it said fruits of righteousness? Our great intellectual reform people around us would say that Paul's confused. He meant the fruits of holiness. No, it's fruits of righteousness. Righteousness and holiness are the same thing. You can't separate them. One deals with the nature, one deals with before the law. And you can only be right before the law if you're holy in the heart. Ain't no way you can separate that. And he's the one that quickens and does it. And then none's going to resist him or stop him because look who he is. Verse 47, the first man's of the earth, the second man's the Lord from heaven. He's going to sovereignly do it. That's why it says we shall be made alive. And then look at this. If the earthy made us bear his image, you rest assured the Lord from heaven's going to make us bear his image. Now look here, verse 48. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. Let me ask you something. You that have been born of God, you know you have an old nature. You still got that old Adam nature, that earthy nature with you. Is it just like Adam? Fallen Adam? Ruined Adam? It is what he is, isn't it? It's sin. Is it perfect sin? Is there something else to be done to make your old nature sinful? It's sinful, isn't it? Anything, you need to get a little more sinful before God can send you to hell? If he left you alone? No, you've got enough of it, don't you? You're sinful. Well, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And Colossians says we're renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created us. 2 Corinthians 3 says we behold his face as in a glass and we're changed into the same image. Right now in spirit, when you die and go to be with God, nothing's going to be done to that spirit. Why? Because nothing has to be done to it now for you to go in through Christ to commune with God. It's Christ in you. And nothing will have to be done to it for it to enter into glory. It's holy and righteous and accepted of God by Christ, in Christ, with Christ in you and you in Christ. It's just one. It can't be, nothing else to be done to it. And one day we're going to bear the image perfectly in our body too. But he said there, look now, look what he said. Such are they also that are heavenly. Right now, those without Christ, they are just like the earthy man. They're just like Adam. And you and I who are born of Christ, there is an old man that's still just like Adam, but there is a new man. And we are as Christ. As he is, so are we in this earth. Everything he is, that's what we are. And we're going to bear that image perfectly. And the only thing, when I say that, I don't mean there's something to be done inwardly. I don't mean there's more to achieve by you. I simply mean one day he's going to raise us in our bodies, and our body, spirit, is all going to be perfectly conformed to his image. And you're going to have as much to do with that as you have to do with all this other. Or you're going to have as much to do with this other as you will with that. Nothing. That's the thing. It's... when we put our hand and have one thing that we have to add, we disannul the whole work of Christ. All the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. And listen to this now. The scripture says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The only way I could have no guile in my spirit is if it's holy. I'm trying to tell you right now, in Christ, by Christ, with Christ in you, you are perfect wisdom, perfect righteousness, perfect sanctification, perfect redemption. You have everything you need to be accepted of God, you that believe on him. And I'm telling you that don't taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Fall on into his arms and see that he has provided everything for his people. You don't have to put a hand to the work. That doesn't mean now the unregenerate man will hear that and he'll think, you're telling sinners to sin. I'm telling you to hush, whoever says that. What I'm telling people is, fall on Christ. If he's worked his work in you, you'll believe on him, you'll trust him, and then that fear of the Lord that makes you love him and honor him and want to please him will make you say, is there anything I can do? He'll say, you don't have to do anything, but I want something. Give me something. Okay, then go tell others about me. Okay? And you'll do it because you want to do it. You won't do it because you feel like somebody's telling you got to witness X a number of times this week. You do it when he opens the door, and it'll be a natural thing. You don't see fruit trees out there working hard to try to produce some fruit. They just do it. That's what fruit trees do. And that's what God's people do by his spirit dwelling in them. See what I'm saying? It's not law, it's grace. It's not works, it's love. And you ever meet Christ, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You that've met him, you know, don't you? All right, that's enough.